meeting, we're gonna start with a pledge. Mike, would you lead us, please? It's right here.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, board meeting April 24, 2024. The consent agenda is in front of you, which includes the approval of this agenda, the approval of the minutes for March 27th, and notice of our next meeting for May 22nd. Accept a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I so move to approve the consent agenda.
Second. Moved, seconded. Any discussion? Any changes, alterations? If no, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, the consent agenda carries. Leanne's daughter's the only member of the public. Anything you wanna say tonight? Thanks for coming. You look cute. Yeah, I guess not. We're gonna go down to board business then. And Todd, would you give us an overview of the route changes?
Sure. So in your packet, page six. Before I go through the results, just real quick overview, just to remind the record. So we are looking at doing these route changes for really kind of five reasons: increased overall route safety, improved reliability for connections at the transit center, increased access to new areas of development, still maintaining that 3 to 4 block walking distance, and then this was based on feedback we received over the years from both passengers and also members of our staff, just ideas. So we put this out as we told the board last time that as of April 30th, we started our public hearing. And so it's just some interesting things as we go through this. To this point, we have 166 surveys completed. We've categorized those into various things: stop input, education. Education being where there's comments that we can clear up just by maybe somebody's not understanding something. Based on their comments, we can see that maybe they don't understand the stops just being moved across the street or moved a block or two. Other comments that aren't related to the route changes but are still something we want to engage people with. You can also see that we found that most people have found out about the survey via the app or onboard bus ads and then the flyer at the transit center. So we've given them the ability to either answer, you know, one route and they can complete the survey, or they can answer all of those. And so you can see we've got quite a few comments on all of the routes. Route 6, for example, you can see 15% of those comments of what we would deem negative are saying, hey, we don't like this for whatever reason. 30% being neutral, and then 52% positive. And then we've kind of broken these comments down for you just to so you can kind of see the number there. Route 8, 128 responses, again, 11% negative, 38% neutral, 51% positive. Route 7, 128 response, 6% negative, 39% neutral, 55% positive. And Route 9, 132 response, 11% negative, 44% neutral, 45% positive. And with these comments, we've also given folks the opportunity to leave their email or phone number, and if they would like to be contacted. So we've had about, I think, almost 30 that have said, hey, we want to be, and so we're engaging those folks and talking with them. But overall, as we look at this, this is fairly positive in the sense that, most of the comments are positive or neutral. But obviously with the ones that are negative, we're trying to engage those that want to be engaged and having conversation. So our plan is that we'll hold this open till the 30th of this month, and then we'll come back to the board again with this type of feedback. Is there anything else that you're wanting, or is this type of feedback effective for you? That's a question I have for you. And you can get with me later if you want. So.
Any feedback from the board?
Would you guys proceed like the 55%, even the 45% positive? Would you go ahead and proceed with those changes?
Well, at the end of the day, the board's going to determine whether or not we proceed, but we'll come back to you with a recommendation. But, I will say just my initial thing is I was a little bit surprised that we actually had so many positive response. A lot of times, if someone's positive, they're not going to necessarily say that. They're not going to participate. So I was really excited that we've had folks engage and give feedback the way they have. So that was exciting for us.
Well, if you divide them up into I have an issue with this or I don't have an issue, the neutral and the positive, they don't have an issue with it.
Correct.
So you're about 80-something percent. That's pretty well received.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know that we're ever going to make a route change that is not going to impact somebody in some negative way, right? So again, the stop may have been within a block for them, and now it's three blocks, you know, and so you have to walk two more blocks. And I understand why someone would feel some frustration with that. But again, it's still within our goal of they're not walking more than 3 to 4 blocks.
So. I am curious, you know, like, for example, throughout 7, there's 6% negative, but then if you look down on the bullet points for comments, there's just 2 comments that's where it says, don't like it or affects me. So there was an ability to give a negative response, but not a comment.
Sure. Okay. I mean, so we had a rating scale that they did, and then also a place that have comments. Okay. So, they don't always have to give a comment.
And in your kind of the survey of the comments that you've had thus far and your staff, you know, those that are negative, are most of them addressable?
Again, I would say either by education or you know, some type of conversation, whether or not that changes the route. I think we still are early on in the analysis. Okay. And making sure that we want to wait till we get all of the analysis to really dive into the details. But I would say initially, I think they're all going to be minor, in my opinion. But
worst case scenario, they have to walk an extra block. Or something.
There is some impact there. Okay. Somebody might have to walk more.
Okay.
Other conversation? Not hearing any. Tonight we posted a public hearing, so that board chair, we're going into public hearing and open that up. Any public that want to make comments here? Kind of know everybody's role on this right now, so calling once, twice. All right, I will accept a motion from the board to come out of public hearing.
So moved.
Moved.
Second.
Seconded. Okay. I need a majority vote to come out, unless there's any discussion. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor of coming out of public hearing, say aye.
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 Is there any negative? Say nay. Okay, it's unanimous. We're coming out. Thank you. One other thing that we ought to just cover is just the process. So we'll continue to seek feedback on this, and then there'll be a recommendation from the staff on what we should do. We'll then vote on it, but we'll keep this survey open post-decision just to see if there's further impact. Once the bus has actually changed the route, and as I say, the rubber hits the road, we'll have more impact, and then we want to continue the feedback. Moving on, steering committee report. Sean, what's going on in the steering committee?
All right, you're going to have to turn around and look at the board,
well,
at the screen.
You've got it in front of you. You've got papers.
I'm good. It's just if anyone. Oh, I guess you can look at your papers.
Yes, we do.
No, this is exciting. This is the most exciting thing since Costco got cookies. So it is.
Are you just speaking to the reporters in the room?
Is there I did not know there was any. Strike the cookie comment from the record. So, as you are well aware, we have the ability to record board on and off boardings with the sensors on the bus. So, I have some constituents or stakeholders that are interested in that, so I've been visiting with Todd and staff to see how to best present this, and this is what we came up with thus far. If you look at your Hiram Ridership
page seven,
you'll see there's a heat map in the bottom left corner. And so the darker it is, the more people rode or at that time. And so, you know, what we have to do, if you're after this kind of data, you know, this tells me a nice little story about Hiram over a 3-month period, that you've got a commuter group in the mornings and the afternoons, and then, you know, a certain amount of riders throughout the day. So if this is something that you're interested in for your constituents, you'll have to provide a route, you know, like which route you're interested in, the boundaries of what you want. You know, I asked for Monday through Saturday, and then a time frame. So do you want it for the last week, for the last month, for the last 3 months? and then that can be extrapolated. Then, if you look at the next page, this is kind of going into the details of the number of people that boarded and deboarded at each stop. And this is a sum over 3 months. So if you subtract off your Sundays and half the Saturdays, you know, and divide it by whatever, you can figure out how many per day if you want to. But you can see some stops, you know, get hundreds, while others just get a few dozen. So, Jeff. And this is a, you know, so I'm going to show this one about Hiram and another one about Smithville to the county next time I go visit with them, so they can just kind of see a sampling of north and south and how many people are getting on and off. And I love it. It's accurate data. As far as we can tell, there was at least a year involved in double-checking these numbers, right, of counts, just to try to make sure.
Invalidated.
Yeah,
validated.
Yeah, validated.
Things we need to validate.
No? Questions?
No.
Okay. Now we have another item. And that is pages, 9 through 14. And I'm going to end up turning the time over to Todd here in just a second, but about 6 months ago, when Le'Aaron was also on the steering committee, we kind of put together this idea of helping the board understand exactly what's involved in changes like what we saw today with Route 6, 7, 8, and 9. And stops, anything that requires a substantial amount of change. It's effort intensive, way more than I ever thought it would be, and it's good for us to understand this because we may actually have to explain it to others as well. So, Todd, you okay to give us an overview of what we're looking at?
So we really appreciate John and Le'Aaron working with us on that, and then we showed this to the current steering committee as well. So really what we're trying to do is just the different roles that we may face, the staff and the partner entities that we work with. So you see that we kind of broke this up into long range, intermediate, and then short range planning. And you know, quite frankly, we're always planning. We're always doing some form of planning as an agency. And really we partner with entities like the CMPO, the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization, the cities, the county, UDOT, even the FTA, we're involved in working with them. And then we have partners like Kimley Horn, which is who we have hired to help us with some long-range stuff. And then as we get closer to implementation, more in the short range, then Jody and his staff really get involved in really making sure that these things that we've come up with are actually, you know, something we can implement. So sometimes what we start out with conceptually, it may change slightly. You know, maybe we change the streets we go down or something, but generally the area or what we're doing is similar. But so if we look in the long range, we're saying that first what we're trying to do is we're trying to identify what's the need or obstacle, what's going on that's not currently being met with the current service. And again, that may be that the public informs us of that through customer interaction or through our website. That may be an elected official or a constituent that comes and talks to you and said, hey, I'm having this problem. So then we take that and we evaluate that against the current policy the board has. And we're going to go through an example here in a second. But so we evaluate that and say, what is the gap? We do some type of gap analysis. And then that takes us into start doing research and saying, okay, what are the parameters of the problem? What are potential solutions? What are some just high-level costs associated with that solution? And that's when we start coming in. We get with the board subcommittees, and we're presenting ideas and concepts and saying, hey, these are things that we think might be effective in dealing with this particular problem. And then as we narrow down that, we narrow down to maybe two or three alternatives. But we're really going to go a little bit deeper into understanding costs and implementation. Again, we're coming back to the board, keeping you informed in that. And then at some point, then we get into the short range that we would come to the board and we'd say, hey, we give you a recommendation. Here's our professional recommendation based on this research. And so, again, like what we're doing, what we did tonight, these changes with Route 6, 7, 8, and 9, that's kind of where we're at, right? We're in the process right now where we've given you some initial input. We're not out to public hearing. and then hopefully in May we'll come back to you with our recommendation of what we should do. And then once the board then says, hey, this is the solution we want, you vote on it, you say this is what we want to do, well then we go into the budget. How are we going to afford that? Is that in the next budget cycle? Is that we have to buy buses? Maybe that's 2 years away, but we're trying then to put budget towards implementation. So that's kind of just a brief overview, if you will. If you go to, and then page 10 just kind of talks about some of the partners, some of the partner agencies and where they may come in and out of that planning process. Because you may hear us talk about these, Bear River Association of Government, UDOT, CTAA, our National Association. But we thought this might be good to share an example. So we have two examples. If you go to page 13, I think this might be a good example of service delivery. Then we'll look at capital example. But, so this is the example of when we implemented pool service. So if you remember way back, the board had said, if we're on the long range under policy and vision, so the board had set a ridership performance standard for its fixed route buses. And those routes, Route 3 at the time, but we had Route 13, 14. So we had these routes, and they weren't meeting the board's ridership standard. And so we had come to the board and said, hey, they're not meeting the ridership standard. And early on, we had actually proposed that we pull service out of the area, because they weren't meeting the ridership standard. And I think that's, the board came back and they said, well, wait a minute. We don't want you to pull service. We want you to figure out how to deliver service in a way that's gonna still provide service. And so that was a great thing where we had come to the board with some ideas and the board said, no, we wanna clarify the policy statement. Our policy is we're not pulling service. And so we went back and we looked at alternatives and we came back and we said, hey, we've got an alternative where we want to implement demand response. And at that time, we had three different zones in which we had shared, and we went out to the public at that point and said, here's three potential zones that we're looking at implementing in. And then ultimately, we came back to the board and we said, we're proposing, our recommendation is that we implement in the zone that's in Millville, Providence, and River Heights. And the board eventually adopted that zone and said, okay, let's go forward and figure that out. And we had to go procure some vans. We then had to, implement putting some more stops in, and then ultimately we implemented that service. So I think that's a good example of, even though that started several years ago, several years before we actually implemented the service, it just takes time to work through this process and meet all the requirements we have to meet, make sure we're engaging the public, engaging the board, engaging our partners. But just hopefully that's helpful. To understand the process. As we go into the budget, I think you'll see that we're going to be presenting again. Here's various things that we've got, more out there, long-range plans, so they're more conceptual. We've got some planning costs associated with them. These are things that we could look at, implementing down the road. But one thing to point out just on this planning thing, so Jody and his team do a great job. But for example, we found out like with UDOT, for us to implement just changing a bus stop, sometimes it might be 6 to 9 months. I mean, it's a long process because UDOT's looking now, and I've got Jeff Gilbert from the NPO hopefully coming next month to present to you about some stuff he has. But one of the things that they're looking at now at UDOT is what they call safe streets concept. I mean, they're looking at not just cars, but they're looking at how do we make the streets safe for pedestrians? How do we make the streets safe for bikes? How do we make this street safe for transit riders? And so all of these interactions are potential conflicts. And so when we look at moving a bus stop, it's not just a simple process anymore. It takes time and there's a whole permitting process. And because Logan City goes with UDOT, we anticipate that even Logan City's process or Nimble City or Providence, their process is gonna kind of start mirroring probably what they have to do with UDOT. And so it just takes more time than it used to make changes, and so it's just good for us to understand that we can't just change something immediately, but we can start the process. Questions?
Any discussion? Okay, really great. Thanks, Darren, community. Thanks, Todd, and everybody who's working on this. That's fantastic. Let's jump down to the business manager reports. Curtis, can you give us an update on the facility?
Yeah, I'm going to do just a quick handout here.
There.
Maybe not. Maybe so.
Yeah, so
They're all the same, yeah. We designed this up mostly for internal use, so it's not pretty, it's not fancy. I'm going to walk through a couple key things. Right near the top, there's a board-authorized budget for this. We're talking about the new facility. Clear back when we started this, we came to the board and asked for authorization for up to $50 million. So that was our overall budget for this whole thing. And so I always keep that in mind. Then internally, we developed our own internal budget based off of projections. We brought that down to about 45.4, so that's that first column with the budget. So that's kind of our target area. We're monitoring towards that. As we're going through this process, we enter into actual contracts. When we enter into an actual contract, I put that into hard costs. That's contractual. We have an obligation to pay somebody as long as they provide the services. But we also have soft costs where there's estimates sitting out there. For example, contingency funds. We have contingency just in case construction has adjustments. It always does. And so there's estimates that we put in there. They're placeholders for the most part. They're not committed. They're not under contract. They're just holders because we think we could incur a cost there. So then we come up to our total obligation, which is right close to our internal budget, well below the board's authorized budget. Down below, we've identified funding sources. So we have federal grants. We have the required match on federal grants, which needs to come from various sources. And then there's additional amounts that we are committing because we're still trying to, right now, we're still searching for other sources. The $5 million that we got from the state is right now going to supplement the required match on federal grants. So I haven't put Utah in as a separate line yet, but it would go into that area because it's going to provide matching funds for the federal grants. I'm still in the process of working with the feds to move money. I've got federal funds lined up, so the red tells me I've got money that I need to move over and actually get it committed with the feds to cover our hard costs, but I just don't have to do it now. I'm letting those solidify a little bit. We'll get it a little bit farther in the process, because the last thing we want to do is commit too much under grants, underspend it, and have grant funds out there and potentially have to turn them back. That would be bad. So I'm careful and cautious with how we manage our grants. So that's just going to sit there for a minute. But as you can see, with the funding that we've lined up, we're still in the green by $480,000, which means we have funding identified in excess of what our total obligation internally is, and we're still less than the $50 million that's out there that the board's authorized. So what we're here to report is right now we're bringing this project in under budget. We're on track. I highlighted in the yellow where we currently stand as to how much we've spent. So that's money that's actually gone out the door, been committed, paying bills. So we're about 52% through the hard costs. Not through the whole budget, 53% through the hard costs. Okay? So what does that mean and what it looks like? On a comical side, we've paid for a whole bunch of concrete and steel and a whole bunch of dirt work. If you go out there, we have concrete walls. We do have a lot of structure around now, and it's really starting to take shape. We're excited to have you go out to the site next month. Todd will talk a little bit more about that. But just by way of update, we reported already that the walls are up. The roof is, there's roofing completely installed throughout the entire facility. It's still getting its final layer over the bus storage. The maintenance area and the administration operations area is completely covered roof-wise and watertight. We're starting to get windows up. They're doing a lot of groundwork for preparing to put in lifts in the maintenance area, and that area's coming along really good. The administration area was super wet, so we're drying that area out, and there has been some underground utility work, but it's been delayed until we can dry out the ground. Now that we're covered, we'll be enclosed, we'll dry out the ground really fast and be able to start working there. Hopefully no later than the 1st of May. I think it'll be dry enough when depending on what happens this weekend. overall, what does that mean to the project? We started this, surprisingly enough, we started about a year ago. We had a groundbreaking a little bit over a year ago. Actual dirt work started moving in about May, so we're not quite a year through this, and we have not quite a year left. We're anticipating that we'll be moved in by this time next year. So when you look at the amount spent and the time frames that we're working on, we're spending about right in line with where we would expect to be project-wise. So on time, on budget, or under budget, is the report that we're giving. And
questions on the finance?
To reiterate, Patrick, you've done a great job of this in the past, but you've wanted the number. $34 million is paid by the feds, another $5 million paid by the state, almost $40 million of this project paid by sources bringing money into the valley to help our economy.
Really great. Thank you for articulating that.
Okay, any questions on the facility, on the spending and the progress? Thanks, Curtis. That's awesome. Appreciate all the mentor tone and leadership there. Todd, can you talk about the facility tour and the board shirts?
So we have two dates that we have set up, and I've emailed you, but again, you can come either of those dates if you want. But so the 23rd of May at 10:15. So again, we want you just to meet at the trailer, and then we'll get you hard hats and vests. Again, you need to wear closed-toe shoes. I would watch the weather, but hopefully it'll be good weather, and so you don't need to worry. We'll tell you if it's going to be muddy at all. But May 23rd at 10:15 or May 24th at 10 o'clock. And just there at the trailer. And we'll take you around. It'll be fun. It'll be exciting. We're hoping that by then, most of the slab work, as far as inside the building, will be done on concrete. Okay? Curtis is saying no.
I don't think we'll be that far for admin.
But yeah, that's true. It's been delayed.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I'm going to get fucked up. No, but yeah. So it'll be good.
Can you see what happens internally?
We'll have a good understanding.
We hold each other accountable. I'm hoping we are there too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Church.
Yeah, so in your packet, what page is that? That is page.
The one with the shirts.
Page 15, yeah. So what we would like to do is to get the board members a polo shirt and a button-up shirt. And so these are the colors. Just let me know, you know, one of each, whatever color you want. And you can have different colors for the polo than the button-up. But we'll have a board member with the new Connect, with the redesign, with the rebrand, the Connect, and it will say board member. So like when we have the ribbon cutting, you can wear that, or if you want to wear to the barbecue or something like that. And then we'll also be giving you a jacket like we have in the past as well. So if you can just get this to me here in the next week or so, if you fill it out tonight, that's fine. The shirt sizes for women, I'm told, probably go down a size because they're men's sizes. So if you typically wear, you know, a medium, probably get a small. For the men, I would say they run a little bit. They're a tight cut. So if you're
on
a large, or
what's that? On the button.
On the button. Yeah, the polo is fine, but on the button, if you're a large, you probably want to get an extra large. So.
Sure. Right. Questions? Okay. Thank you. Let's go to the board chair report. It's me. Hey, we have, again, some great employees that have been with us for a while. This is pretty amazing. Every time I read this, I'm amazed at the longevity of some of our people that have been loyal to the CBTD. So going up the list, Tom Sullivan's been a driver with us for 10 years. Stephen Early has been a driver with us for 10 years also. Tina Miller's been a driver with us for 13 years. Spencer Green has been a supervisor with us for 12 years. And Jillian Grauser, has been a supervisor with us for 17 years. Amazing. So that speaks to the culture that our team has deployed and the loyalty that they feel there. That's wonderful. The next thing I wanted to talk about is in 2 weeks, Todd and I are going back to D.C. to visit with the Utah delegation. Will we see FTA also on that trip? Sometimes
probably,
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this has been a critical part of what we do, and it's been a great investment. Most of our federal funds come as a result of these visits. It's not a one-hit wonder. You can't just parachute in and all of a sudden expect that the Utah delegation will be, and FTA and everybody will be on lockstep with us. So it's the perpetual visit every year that we go in, and we have a team of representatives that help us there arrange those appointments. We go visit with each delegate in their office, and they're very kind to us because of the frequency of our visits. And so it's been a great thing. I'd encourage the board to continue to fund this concept because it pays big dividends in doing so. And then finally, on page 16 of your packet is a overview of the agenda for the Utah Transit Authority Transit Academy. It's something you ought to look into. If you're interested, you need to get to Todd, your RSVP, by, let's say, May 3rd, which is a week from Friday. It's an all-day event on the 21st, and you can see what's happening there. But really, the interest there is for members to interface with the UTA, hear what they're up to, get ideas for what we're up to. Go ahead, Mike.
I think it's a half day, isn't it?
It is a half day, thank you. Okay. From 8 to 12:45-ish. So I encourage you, if you have the time to go there, it would be a great event to be a part of. Any questions or comments about those things that I covered? No? Let me open it up for public comment. Are there any public comments for the Cache Valley Transit District? Anybody? No? Okay. All right. On that note, we'll stand adjourned. Thank you.